And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. That's just radio, by the way. Lots of space on radio. Tons of y'all, too, out there in the whole wide world, going to the World Wide Web and live streaming the show. So thank you for that. And then, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, there's a ton of y'all that podcast the show. No matter where you catch the show, we just want you to know how much we appreciate it. Y'all are awesome. You are the reason why we do what we do. So thank you very much. All right, listen, I got a thing we do every single Thursday. We bring in two people who we're thankful for because it's Thankful Thursday. We bring in two people we're thankful for, and we round up some questions, hit some opinions, and find out what the discourse is all about. So let me just call the roll. I'm looking northward right now. The dynamic diva of dilatory discourse, that would be, yes, indeed, the Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I'm here.
You are. We're glad. We're thankful. All right. So then I go ahead and I look closer to home, but yet he's still online. And that would be the man who says, go Navy, beat Army. Butterman, are you there?
I am.
You are indeed.
Go Navy, beat Army.
There he is. All right. I pronounce it. We got a quorum. Hit me some whoop whoops. All right, you guys, y'all know the deal. We ask the questions, and then we flip the script later, and y'all ask the questions. So here we go. I'm going to keep the same theme going that we've had for the beginning of the show, since the beginning of the show. Jimmy Kimmel apparently lost his gig last night. Lost it big time. Like, it's gone. We don't know if he'll ever come back. He may. His career will go somewhere. But bottom line is, Jimmy Kimmel lost his show after intentionally saying some things about Charlie Kirk's murder that were not even true. So my question to you is this a First Amendment infringement, or is he just getting the deserved employment consequences that come with his actions? Lee, you first.
What I think everybody's missing here is, just because you have First Amendment speech doesn't mean there won't be any consequences for what you say.
Yeah.
It just means you're not going to jail for what you say. It means you're not getting thrown in the gulag. What he did was repeat completely nonsense information that he knew was not true. And that's a rule of propaganda. You have to keep repeating a lie and repeat it often. And then people have a hard time than just cognitive dissonance, thinking, oh, wait, that's not true because I've heard it so many times. And the left understands this well, and so does the media. So, no, it's not a First Amendment right unless someone's thrown him in jail that I don't know about. And second, he didn't deserve that job. He got paid millions. And ABC was wise to pull him because they've awakened the sleeping giant. That's what the death of Charlie has done.
Yeah.
It's awakened people that have never cared before. And I think that ABC is starting to get it. You want to keep what you have at all? You want to keep these people subscribing to Disney? You want to keep them subscribing to everything? You'd better make some quick changes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you, before I jump into my opponent's opinions, I'll go with Butters. Your thoughts, Butters, man. Is this a First Amendment issue or is it just a consequence issue?
Even back when they were doing it to conservatives, it was never a First Amendment issue. Free businesses have the right to handle such issues the way they want to.
Yeah.
I guess it makes me long for the, like, 20 minutes ago when we all just existed in a world where we really didn't care what companies thought about their political opinions and what they stood for, and we just liked the products. I kind of wish we could go back to those days when, you know, okay, whatever, just
we
entertain
didn't start
us.
That, though. The left is getting eaten by its own destruction machine.
Exactly. They kind of opened up the can,
yeah.
And so now we'll see where it goes.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, both of you. And I look at this and think, if you get down to it, this is just like the TV version of the Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light can. They realized they had a bad thing happening, and they've seen what happened to Bud Light. They saw what happened to Cracker Barrel, and they weren't about to let themselves get all the way down that road before it was too late. They didn't want to be the new Coke formula that no one wanted to drink. So all said and done, I think they were just averting a further crisis by making a business level decision. And the fact is, the left doesn't like it. But the left was willing to cancel Gina Carano on The Mandalorian. The left was willing to pull Roseanne Barr completely off her own show that was named after her, which is so weird, and pretend that she died. And next thing you know, the staff's back and the cast is back, and they're pretending like mom died in the last episode and no one realized it. And it's just the whole thing made no sense. And you can go on and on and on. Mike Lindell losing, all kinds of stores wouldn't carry his pillows anymore. And now all of a sudden, they're seeing Jimmy Kimmel and they're seeing Stephen Colbert and they're like, what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. There's a new sheriff in town and it's kind of caught up to you.
Well, and I will say, assuming this is the world we live in now, that this is how we're going to do business, that, when the tide turns again, that we on the right don't we need to not get mad because companies, try to do something like this and we don't like it because they're against us and we just don't do business with them and we move on with our lives. That seems like the best way to handle all of it.
Yeah. I mean, what do? We just quit buying Bud Light. Market forces took over.
Hold on now. There is the fact that the leftist propaganda went all the way to the top. And companies like BlackRock and others were penalizing companies, and they were not able to get loans and not able to get certain things.
Oh yeah.
Because they didn't have the DEI score, they were using social credit to shape these companies and force it. And
that's
the head,
point.
I think it was BlackRock, I can't remember, actually said we're going to have to force them. So I'm just saying, keep in mind, people, this goes all the way up.
That's a great point. The whole ESG scoring, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
That's a bit different and a whole other thing to unpack from we're firing some people or people are getting fired because, a bunch of free market people speak out and they realize this is not a good business move. You're spot on. There's some really bad stuff going on there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think Kimmel will have a podcast real soon. He and Stephen Colbert will team up online somewhere and they'll make millions, and they'll say whatever they want to and they'll play the victim card and we'll see what happens. All right, next question before I run out of time. I got about 4.5 minutes here. So I don't know if y'all saw the story. Auburn University, and this is kind of in the wake of the Charlie Kirk shooting also, not kind of, it is. In the wake of the Charlie Kirk shooting, there's a staffer, I think he worked in the library or something at Auburn University, who was a drag queen by night, a LGBTQ activist on campus, and made some really super disparaging remarks online about Charlie Kirk right after he was shot. It's kind of crowing about it, basically. It turns out that this dude, the drag queen dude, was actually the same drag queen dude who used to work at Drake Middle School down in East Alabama. And I think it was 1819 News that pointed out that he was out there on his own podcast crowing about how he was using his time as a middle school teacher to interject his LGBTQ lifestyles with kids. So he was forced to resign from middle school, and then Auburn hired him anyway, and now has had to fire him again. So your thoughts, why was Auburn willing to hire this guy knowing what his track record was to work with kids who are only a few years older? Butters, you first.
Well, even as conservative as we think the state of Alabama is, it's a higher education. So I'm going to be hopeful and optimistic that this is just another piece of the process of fixing some of the issues, the hiring practices and the considerations, and, that this is going to get cleaned up in time, and there'll be more instances like this where we go, what? Really? But it is kind of crazy the 1819 article said they ended up putting him into the library at Auburn.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Maybe
they were just scared to fire him because he was clearly willing to play whatever card he could play as whatever he identifies as. And use
students in the process.
He
had such pure judgment, he was willing to do this with minors and then crow about it and then lose his job. And Auburn hired him anyway. Lee, jump in.
Well, our universities are cesspools of leftist degeneracy to begin with. Putting him in the library, no surprise. Library, even more of a degenerate area, you know, drag queens library, they just kind of go together. But what I'm saying is, this guy, Auburn put out a statement, which made me laugh, talking about how that they had come to their attention that, you know, what he had done had, was completely at odds with Auburn's values. Really?
Why'd you hire him? That's right.
Why did you hire a guy who's an obvious degenerate and then get shocked when he does degenerate things? I don't feel sorry for them at all, and I think this is a stain and representative of how misguided and virtue signaling they're hiring him.
I think it's also he was hired in the height of the DEI this mantra where they were literally everything was DEI, got to have more DEI. You know, what can we do to promote DEI? How can we look like we're virtuous? Say, I know, let's hire a guy who screams transgenderism and does drag queens and is willing to inflict that upon middle school kids. That's a great idea. That'll check a few DEI boxes all at one time. And they did. It was like DEI was like a just complete abandonment of all inhibition. And next thing you know, they're having to fire the guy again. It's nuts. It's embarrassing.
Not a shock. Not a surprise.
Well,
it was crazy to me way back 25 years ago now when I was at Auburn and had an English professor. First day of class, as I sit there in uniform as a ROTC midshipman, all right, this quarter, don't write anything about your religion, and I don't want to hear about military stuff. And you're like, dude, you do realize you're at Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. But so, you know, I don't know why they'd want to go work at Auburn anyways, but.
No kidding. And there you were in uniform while he's saying this.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. That's good stuff. All right. That's round one, Butters and Lee. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. And this is where we flip the script and they just ask me questions and I hope I have an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. Round two of Butters and Lee, bringing them back on the screens here. So this is a section where we flip the script. They ask me questions. I don't know what's coming. I just wait and see. Butters, you first. What you got?
Well, something that I think I'm gonna lighten the mood. Just a hair, but something quintessential to America. Today is National Cheeseburger Day.
I'm for that.
So what's your favorite cheeseburger meal?
What's my favorite
as a red-blooded American? Meal? Your favorite cheeseburger meal.
You mean like where would I go to get the cheeseburger, or what do I want with my cheeseburger?
When I throw that question out, what hits you? What makes you hungry?
I do have to say, the other night, Charlene and I were driving back from Huntsville, and we decided to pull into. I'm gonna have to go ahead. I have to name a brand now. You see what you've done. They're getting free advertising. Culver's has an outstanding burger. So as a terms of a fast food place, Culver's is an outstanding burger. Now, I will tell you that the most unreal cheeseburger I ever had was down in Tampa, Florida, at a one-off place in, I think they call it Little Cuba or Little Havana, a section of town. And you go to this place, and they ask you what you want on your burger, right? And it's first of all, it's all handmade patties, and they're huge. I mean, like not like a little bit, like the size of a softball. And then they ask what else you want on it. Everything, you can add all the things, and then they wrap the whole thing in dough and they cook it all together, and it comes out looking like a football, like about the size of a small football. And it is all burger baked in dough. Everything you wanted already is in there with it, and when you take a bite in it, it runs all over your face, and it may be the best cheeseburger I've ever had in my life. Just saying.
Man. Why do we not have that in Alabama?
I don't know, but we could do it. We could do it right here. We could just make our own. I'm just thinking, why don't we do this? This is a thing. It was dynamic.
I just saw that, and I'm actually gonna fix some cheeseburgers. I've gotten into the smash burgers on the Blackstone, and it's hard to go back to a regular burger.
I am like super hungry right now.
But
give me a side of tater tots, and I'm a happy man.
yeah, all the heaviness of the last week or so, it's nice to think about something a little more filling.
Although I will say this, I did have quite the disappointment the other night. I was driving home from Huntsville on another trip there, and it was late at night, and I was thinking, I need a snack. It's like, super late. I say they were still open, so it was like close to 10 o'clock, and Sonic was still open. I love tater tots. I pulled into tater tots. Apparently, I got the leftovers. Because when I got my tater tots, let's go ahead and say it. Tater tots are not supposed to be chewy. They're not. When you bite into it and it's like you got potato flavored bubble gum, something's wrong. So that was an awful experience.
I ate them anyway. The Burger 101 right here in Gadsden.
Oh, that's good.
It's got the sweet potato tots.
See?
Those are hard to pass up.
Oh, Lee, we got to go to a question before I run out of time. I could talk about food all day long. So, Lee, what's your question for me?
Well, first of all, it's Bad Daddy's Magic Mushroom Burger with sweet potato fries. That is mine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's mushrooms and Swiss. It's delicious. So my question is, you've noticed like Candace and Tucker and a lot of them are starting to make statements and talk about Charlie's mind changing on things and trying to, seems to me, horn in or grift on the grief and the anger and the action of what's happening. I wonder what you thought about some of that, because I find it highly insulting to discuss someone's personal faith that's not been released, you know?
Can I ask you real quick, just, you don't have to say exactly what they said, but what do you mean? What are they saying? What kind of things are they saying that you think is horning in on his space?
Well, they're talking about how he was changing his mind on Israel and he was turning on BB. And Candace says he was on the brink of transitioning to Catholicism, which he has never said that. If anything, he has always said that, he is non-denominational, I just don't understand why they're trying to push that. I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, everybody wants to have their narrative and show how much they knew Charlie, you know? Here's how much I knew him. I knew him because we had this insider conversation that no one else could have possibly had. You know, and as a lawyer, I'll tell you that hearsay is not admissible. You know, it's the thing. You cannot say what another person not present allegedly said to you unless there's a means of verifying what they said. And there are certain ways you can get around that, but for the most part, hearsay has very few exceptions. If you're going to try and insert someone else's dialogue as some kind of testimony, it's typically not admissible. You know, I look at this and go, I don't know, man. Why would you go there? How about this? We have what Charlie said. It is so recorded. I mean, the man was an open book, and it is between podcasting, news appearances, public speaking, video testimonials, his own books that are published all over the place. There's no way in the world someone could say, well, you know, he was really thinking this. Well, how about this? We have the actual evidence. The admissible evidence is before us. And for you to try to change that narrative is a rather disingenuous, and we can't give it credit unless, you know, there is some means of proving otherwise. What you got, Butters?
It should have been up to his wife to release anything like that, if she chose to.
Yeah.
I find it distasteful.
Yeah. 30 seconds, guys. What you got, Butters?
Some concern before his wife was announced as the new CEO coming in. I could see some concern that some shadowy power would try to usurp taking over
the platform of USA. Yeah, trying to grab the platform while they could.
Yeah.
Well, I think they put a stop to that real quick because, just today, like around the time I went on the air almost, Erica Kirk is now the new CEO and president of TPUSA. All right, you guys, love you both. Thankful for you. That's it. Butters and Lee coming right back. We'll jump on into another dipper, and this time we're going to talk about sowing discord. What did Trump just say about Antifa? I'll tell you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.